It's lovely just to have this opportunity just to give you a little bit of an update on what we are doing in Armenia. When Pastor asked me to come and speak, I thought I'll just really, you know, tell you what's going on. This isn't a formal presentation or anything. I've just really put together some photographs and really just to update you on what's been going on in the work of Armenian Ministries over the last few months. And of course, most of you here are very familiar with the work, so I don't need to go into a lot of details on the introduction. But for those of you who maybe don't know anything about our work, we're a small mission organization, and we work in the country of Armenia, which is on the east side of Turkey, situated between Turkey and Azerbaijan. And really our work is of two, I suppose, two parts. We have a humanitarian aid part, and then we have an evangelism or gospel part, I suppose. But really, the humanitarian aid part of the work, aside from helping people in their needs, is a great way to get into people's lives and tell them about the gospel. And that is ultimately our aim all the time, to point people to the Lord Jesus Christ. So, I think the place to begin is to start talking about the bus, which, of course, you should all know about. I just want to start by saying thank you to the church for the provision of this. You know, our hearts are just so excited about this. We are really full of it, you might say, because really this is a new form of ministry for us. We hope that this bus will be able to open up many opportunities for us to speak to people about the Lord. And just give you just a little bit of background to this. As you know, when a couple of years ago, one of our Bible clubs, children's Bible clubs, had to close because the place where we were meeting, we were no longer able to gather there, and so that closed. And then last year, one of the other Bible clubs had to close for the same reason. We were told that the kindergarten that we were using would no longer be available to us, and really that comes as a result of the opposition from the state church. And so, you know, we've been thinking about different things we could, you know, do to get around this problem. And it was actually my sister-in-law Ruth, who of course was very much part of the work at one time before she got married, she said, why don't you get a bus? And, you know, get a bus and gather all the kids together in the bus. Take the bus to the village and, you know, you gather them in there and give them the gospel and all the other things. And we didn't think very much about it. It didn't sort of stick in our hearts. But anyway, we looked into other options and we prayed about it. And really, the idea must have been still there at the back of our minds. And so we started to think about it, about this idea of the bus. And of course, God started to show that was, you know, possibly what he, you know, what he was wanting. So, we made some contacts and we managed to get eventually to this bus in Germany. And the guy that deals in these buses, and he's a believer actually. And you know, we went to look at this bus January, wasn't it? It was January we went, and you know, it was wonderful, just amazing how God directed in each step. So this is it. This is the bus. It's really absolutely what we're looking for. It's a slightly older model, which means that it doesn't have all the the modern gadgetry that the newer buses have, which is a good thing from the point of view of Armenia, because we don't want something that's going to break down that we can't repair. And this, you know, this is really everything we've been wanting. Somebody in Armenia, when they saw these photos, said, "Wow, it's a big bus, isn't it?" And yeah, it's a full length bus. It's a 45 seater, but that means with the kids, we'll probably be able to get something like 70 kids in this bus in one go. absolutely. We wanted something that was specifically laid out in this way with those in the middle, so that, you know, whoever's talking to the kids, they can stand in the middle just in front of where I am there, and they can talk to both sides. Both ends of the bus. And so this, it's really wonderful how God has provided this. This is friend Bob who went with me, and he's been very much involved in helping out with getting all this sorted out. So what will happen is these seats at the front, these seats will be turned around for the Bible clubs, and then the kids will be facing the center. And you know, as I said, it opens up all sorts of possibilities, because we can take it to villages where we've had no contact before. We can go there, pack it up, and just invite kids in. We can invite adults in. And the Armenian nation as a whole are very, you know, very curious people. If a bus turns up in their village, they will want to know what's going on. And you know, they'll come along and they will poke their noses in, and that will give us that opportunity, you know, to talk to them about the Lord. Well, the plan is that we'll probably fit some sort of, you know, video projector in there, and that way we can, you know, maybe show some videos, some Christian videos. And you know, the opportunities, I guess, are limitless. You know, really, the thing that we need to do is to pray that God will, you know, God will show us where we should go with this bus. It has many advantages over the other options that we'd considered, in that we're not tied to one place. We're not tied to one particular village, and we can move around. And we've already got in mind places that we're going to take it. There is one village that we go to where we started a small church group, and unfortunately the person's house where we were meeting in is no longer available, so we can take the bus there and meet in the bus. So it's wonderful. There's a wonderful opportunity there. This is where it's located at the moment, up in Germany here. And it's got to go down to here, to Armenia. Now, I must say that Kai has been very helpful, because we were looking into, you know, how we're going to get this bus from Germany to Armenia. And Kai has helped us to investigate some various options. The way it looks like we're going to do it is we're going to have the bus driven from Germany down to Bulgaria. And then it will be put on a boat across the Black Sea to Georgia, from where one of our workers will go from Armenia to Georgia to collect it. Well, that's an interesting story. My brother-in-law has a mission. Similar to ours in Moldova, and he has a guy who works with him who is a Romanian, and this guy's driven all over Europe. And the plan is that he's going to drive the bus across from Germany to down to Bulgaria. Now, my brother-in-law Matthew has recently purchased a van, which he needs to get to Romania, to Bucharest. And he doesn't have a driver, and he can't get a driver from Europe because of the insurance regulations. So it looks like I'm actually going to be driving with this guy. So we're going to drive to Germany together from the UK. He's going to drive the bus, and I'm going to drive the van to Romania, drop the van off at Bucharest, and then continue down to the port in Bulgaria. Again, God is just amazing, because that process means that we avoid all sorts of obstacles with the paperwork. That is the plan, and you know we're praying about it, and the hope is that by later on in March we'll be able to make that journey. So please pray for us. Please pray that God will, you know, give us give us His sort of stamp of approval on it, you might say. But we've looked into other options of transporting it to Armenia, and they're either too expensive or they're just too difficult. So that is what will happen. Once it gets to Armenia, it will be registered there in Armenia, and then we'll be able to start using it. Probably the first use it's going to have is for the summer camps, when we have to transport the kids from the villages to the campsite. And that is going to be a huge saving, because up until now we're having to hire buses, or either one or two buses sometimes. So this will, as I say, it will carry a good number of kids. So isn't that wonderful? Yeah, it's wonderful. And you know, these things are tools. You know, they are. That's all they are, really. They're tools. But you know, without them, it's very difficult to work, isn't it? But you know, we trust that this is going to be a tool which we can use to the glory of God. So there it is. That's me paying my wage to get my way to get back home. We trust that it's going to be a great blessing. So that's the bus. If anybody's got any questions, you know, please feel free to ask, either now or, yeah.
You know, there's a thing in Germany called rideshare.
Yeah. No, I haven't.
Advertised, and people, like, are wanting to go to a certain place. So
right.
Everyone's wanting to go on your way.
Across?
And they will pay for it.
Okay. All right. We'll maybe get more details about that from you. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Great. All right. So let me move on. Just to say, this is the kind of place that it will be going to. This is Yerevan Dashad at the bottom here, the little village that we used to be going to. About 60 or 70 kids were coming to this Bible club prior to its closure. So the bus will be hopefully going back to this village, and this is the other village, Baramian, again, similar sort of number of kids were coming until September last year. Some of these kids, as you can see, they're quite, you know, some of them are young adults now. They've been coming to our Bible clubs for the last 8-9 years. So a lot of time has been invested into them, and it's, you know, it's a big burden off our hearts to think that, you know, we are going to be able to go back again and speak to them and encourage them. Some of these young people have given their hearts to the Lord Jesus, and there isn't anything else for them. These villages don't have a church. There isn't a church there in the village. There isn't anyone else that we know of who is there and preaching the gospel. So it's very important that we can continue this work. This is the group that our church, some people from our church that came to our campsite last year when Corey and Emily were there. And as you can see, it's a big group of people. And that, again, we had to pay for transportation to have them there. So this will allow us to be able to take people out to the campsite. And a few days ago, I was talking to our local director, and he said, I've been thinking about this bus, and he said, I'm really excited about it. He said one thing that struck me was that we could go to a village where there's people there that we help, and we could just load them all into the bus and take them to the campsite for the day, and we could feed them all and give them a good time and then give a little gospel message. And, you know, I thought, wow, that's great. God is already firing up others as well. So that's what we need. We need others to be fired up as well. Absolutely. Well, I mean, in Armenia, all you need is bread. Even the fish. Yeah. Everything is eaten with bread, isn't it? You remember that, brother? Yeah. Good bread. Yeah. Okay. All right, so that's just another camp photo, again from last year. Okay. So I just want to move on. I'm aware of the time, so I don't want to stay on the same subject too long. But another big thing that's been going on over the last few months is the distribution of the newly translated Bibles. As most of you will know, the translation that, into modern Eastern Armenian was finished last year, and 20,000 Bibles were printed. And over the last few months, we've spent a lot of time distributing Bibles to people. There is a huge, huge demand for people to have Bibles. I mean, it is absolutely overwhelming. And while I was there in Armenia this last time, I went to some of the places and was involved in some of that. And so I just thought I'd give you a flavor of that, really. These are the Bibles in our warehouse. This is Gevorg, our local director, and he's looking very pleased with himself because, because of course, this day when the Bibles arrived at our premises was a huge celebration, they'd been waiting for many, many years for this. So he was very, very happy. But there they are in our warehouse. We went to one village. This village is on the going out of the north of Yerevan, going north, and as you can see, it's still cold there, it's a small village which is quite isolated, you'd think, well, is there anything going on in this village? Well, I was amazed to find out that there was actually. This man here is actually basically working as a local missionary within that area, and he got in contact with us, and he said, you know, I'm working in this village, would you be able to provide us with some Bibles? So we went up and we took some Bibles with us. He's a lovely Christian brother. His heart is completely on the Lord, and his heart is on the people in his village coming to know Christ. And so we went to see him, and he took us first of all to the school. This is the village school. So this is where all the kids in the village will go from 7 years right up to 16 years. And it was quite a reasonably good school in reasonable condition, had some renovation work done on it. And the director, this lady here, she's a believer, and so she'd asked that we would provide them with Bibles for all of the teaching staff in the school. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. So anyway, here, Vartan is his name. Vartan is showing her here a New Testament, and here she's got a Bible, and she's just having a look through it, and she was very, very happy for us to have brought these for her. And we gave them out to the teachers, and we're hoping eventually to be able to build up more of a relationship with these people, and you know, maybe try eventually to actually get some material together for the kids. So we're praying toward that end. We then went to it's like the town mayor's, or the direct translation is village chief, the Gulabed it's called, and he is basically the law in that village. So we went there to his request, and unfortunately on the day we went, he wasn't there, but his workers were, and we gave them some Bibles, and here are some of the calendars. This is his like personal assistant, and so here they are, the workers, some of the workers there with their new Bibles. While we were there, the director of the kindergarten came as well, and she said, "We've heard you are coming into the village. We would also really like some Bibles as well for our workers in the kindergarten." So she came as well, and we gave them, I think there was about half a dozen Bibles given to them. What a wonderful thing. We just, you know, just pray that these people will open them and they'll read them, and God will speak to them. So this is back in Vartan's house. This is his wife, lovely Christian lady. They have five children, all the children are involved in some way or other in their ministry, and underneath the house they have basically a church hall, and this is very unusual for Armenia to find a gospel preaching evangelical church in villages. Very, very rare. But he has managed to get some money together, and he's made this basement into quite a nice hall. So that was lovely to see that. So pray for Vartan. He's got a difficult job on his hands. It's not easy being a local missionary in Armenia, because it goes against the thinking. You see, Armenians generally consider themselves Christians because that's their heritage. And what he's doing is standing up and saying, no, that doesn't mean we are saved. We need Christ as our Savior. I was encouraged. We had a lovely time of fellowship, and it was lovely to meet another brother. I didn't get to hear his testimony, unfortunately. No, I didn't. I understand that he's been a believer for quite a number of years, but yeah, we didn't. We talked about a lot of things, but unfortunately. Yes. Yeah. No, I don't know. I have a feeling he was at university. Him and his wife are both quite educated people. They've both got degrees in engineering, and I think he got saved at that time. That is what I gleaned, but I didn't have chance to ask him directly. But next we went to later on the time we went to another church. This is back in the capital now, in Yerevan, and this is the pastor of the church here. We were invited to go, I was invited to preach and also to take Bibles for them, and so we took some scriptures, and that's just me preaching. You know what that looks like. the members of the congregation they all received a Bible. What we have to do, it's quite a considerable amount of work distributing these Bibles, because we're registered as a charitable organization. Everything that we receive into the country, we have to account for. That includes the Bibles. So you can see actually what they're doing here is they've got their passports, and everybody has to present their passport, and that has to all be recorded, and we have to account for the Bibles that we distribute. Now, fortunately, a lot of them we can work with other churches and organizations, and they can take a batch of them, and that all goes as under that organization. So the guy that we just saw, he took 50 for his church and signed for those 50. It's a bit of a nuisance having to do this, but that's unfortunately the country that we're working in, and there is no way around it. So we just praise God that the authorities have allowed us to bring God's word in, and are allowing us to distribute it free of charge. So that is wonderful. We can cope with a little bit of paperwork. Anyway, so that's what they're doing, and Gevorg here is busily scribbling away. And again, some more people coming and receiving them. I'll just move on to some of the other parts of the work, what we've been doing. We've, over the winter time, that is when we really concentrate on helping the people in need. And it gets very cold in Armenia, as you've probably worked out. In fact, I was talking to one of our workers, and he was telling me that when they were up in the north of the country earlier on in January, they got stuck there for 5 days because of the snow. The temperature fell down to minus 33 degrees. And they got snowed in. The roads were all closed. And people are having to live in those conditions with little or no housing or heating. The family lives here, and I'd never been to this place before, and Gevorg is here, and I'm following him down, and I see this, and I And I think, oh, these people look like they're in a bad way. Givog said, well, actually, in actual fact, he said, we're not coming to visit this family. It's another family we're coming to visit. These were considered to be not too bad, I guess. You can see their home is pretty dire. This is actually where we were going. Unfortunately, when we got there, the lady that we were going to help wasn't in that day. But the place was in a terrible state. The roof was it's like a slab of concrete, but there was places where it all broken up. And then the windows were broken. And you just think, how do these people manage to live? It's you know, so cold outside. I mean, this is in Yerevan. This is just outside Yerevan, so it's not minus 33 necessarily, but it's still cold. And, you know, it leaves you with a very sort of empty feeling, I suppose. You just don't know how they cope. So we went to these, so went to visit this lady, and as I say, she wasn't in, but they went back a couple of days later and helped her out. In the same place, in the same region, we went to this lady, and we've been helping this lady for a while. She lives with her mother. She has a daughter. He wasn't a husband. The man who she had the child to, he left her, and basically she's in a very, very poor state. She has some mental difficulties, and the home that she lives in is just, you know, basically this one room. That is her home, really. And we've helped her over the last few years with food and wood and clothing. And this day we'd taken some food for her. She lives about 1.5 kilometres from the nearest water supply, so she has to walk there every day and carry water. And this is her supply of water. And it's not a nice, you know, nice tarmac road. It's basically mud in the winter time. In fact, a few days earlier, one of our vans got stuck twice in that region because of the road. So, you know, these are people that just live in very difficult circumstances, and we're trying to do what we can to help them. But obviously, there's only a certain amount you can do. But you know, we praise God that we can at least offer them some hope. Maybe not in this life, but you know, for eternity. This is the delivery of a wheelchair, this wheelchair was provided for us by another organisation. It's an organisation that distribute wheelchairs worldwide, and they supplied us with some to give to people that we know needed them. And it's for this man, Valer. Now, you may remember him. He's been in our newsletter, and I may have shown photos of him before. He's a war veteran. He fought in the Armenia-Azeri War in the 90s, and he was injured. He's an invalid. Both feet are basically, unusable. He manages to stand up on his crutches, but he lives on his own. He doesn't have anybody to care for him, and he doesn't have any family, and the government just aren't interested. I mean, this is a guy who fought for his country, and so we've got to know him. We've helped him over the last few months, we believe he knows the Lord. His heart is very open to God. It's difficult to say for certainty because when you speak to him, you can tell that there's something not quite all right in his mind, and so. But I believe that his heart is open to God. And I believe that he loves the Lord, he was very happy to get his wheelchair. And again, it was a cold day. I don't know if you can see it there, but he's actually barefoot. I had two lots of socks on and my boots, and that was still cold. But he is there barefoot. He just can't look after himself. I mean, he was filthy, you know. I didn't even want to shake his hand because his hands looked so horrible. But he's no running water in the house. So he has to go down those rickety steps with his crutches. And of course, it's a struggle for him to manage it. So most of the time he manages without and depends on a neighbor to bring him some water from time to time. Yeah, it's very, very heartbreaking situation. We praise God that we've just been able to show him some love, and we pray that he'll really open his heart up to God, up to the Lord Jesus. We went up north one day out of the city, further north this time, and this is to a village where we do a Bible club, children's Bible club. Now, it doesn't run over the winter time because the weather's too severe, but we wanted to go and visit the family, and now that the roads had cleared, we thought we'd go and visit them and take them a little bit of help, and so we went up to see them. You can see the road was still quite bad in places. We didn't think we were going to get through. We have two vans and a car, and we were in the car this day, and we got to this point in the road and we thought, should we risk it or shouldn't we? Anyway, we did risk it, and we managed to get through this lot, but we only got so far before we had to stop. So this is one of our other workers, Sako. He's a lovely young man, and he is one of our children's workers, and so I went with him and his sister as well. This is the house we went to. It's pretty run down. At least it was reasonably warm inside. We've taken wood for them, provided them with some money for electricity, and so therefore they can heat their home a little bit. On this day, we'd taken some boots for their son. This is the lady of the house. She's, again, no husband, no man in the house, so there's really no income coming into the family. This is Manuel, one of our children's workers. This young man, he's going to the army shortly. It's compulsory conscription in Armenia, so 18 years old, they have to go into the army for 2 years. And so we took him some boots and a few other items of clothing and just a few things to try and make it a little bit easier for him. So that's some of what we've been doing. The children's clubs are gradually starting, and this is the one in Yerevan. This started on last Sunday when I was there. And, the God is working in all sorts of different ways, and we just want to see these young people come to know the Lord as their Savior and see the difference that God can make in people's lives, because there isn't anything else that's going to do that. only if Christ comes in and Christ indwells them will there be a change. And I believe as well that when people start to change in their hearts, the situation as a whole starts to change. And Armenia faces a lot of difficulties today because of people, I suppose, because of the greed, the selfishness, and it really doesn't need to be like that, I don't think. But people won't change until Christ comes and makes that change. So we just trust in that God will work in the lives of these young people, and ask you pray to that end as well. So the children's work is one area where we're working to get the gospel out, and then of course we have the work among the adults. This is our little church in Yerevan. We've got about 45, 50 members of this church, and a lot of these people have been converted over the last, well, within the last 10 years. There's a long way to go for many of them. They need to grow in the Lord. We pray now that they've got the scripture, that they will start to open it, start to digest it. And the effect will be that they'll grow in their knowledge and their love of the Lord Jesus, and please pray for them there. Pray for the church, and please pray for Gevorg, who is the elder, and we have another man who's also an elder, and his workload is at the moment such that he's really under a lot of pressure. Of course, while I'm not there, then they have to take the responsibility of preaching. So please pray for that. I think that's probably all I've got to say, really. There's much more I could say. These photos were just a selection, just a little bit, but.
Any questions? One thing comes to my mind, and I'll just pray. Thank you, Mike. Mike preached that message this morning about the talents. Folks, I think they're using all their talents, amen? I think they're using them all to the glory of God. And I'm just thankful that we are able to be a part of this in some little way. And I know I haven't talked to Mike about this or Peru, so there's a great forgiveness that you should give me if I'm breaching an area I shouldn't go in. But Emily's looking for some folk to go to Armenia with this summer for a little trip. And so if then the Lord even tingles your heart a little bit about this ministry, be a great missions trip, be a great opportunity, and we'd work it out to with whatever fits for you guys, or if it doesn't, we'll just send you Emily and Cooper, you know how it works. But what a blessing. Amen? Amen. The whole purpose is to pull people out of hell, and we do it every how we can. Amen?
That's right.
Lord, bless the church, God. Here in Chiswick, there in Armenia, be with Mike Peruz and the girls, and Gavork and his family.